more than 10 years ago, I asked a friend of mine who she would recommend for getting the like most accurate or like most insightful news about publishing. And she was just like, Jane Friedman. And I was like, just Jane Friedman, the person. And she was like, yeah, yeah, that's where I would go to for publishing news. And I was like, all right, well then, that, and you know, and from that day forward, I like diligently paid attention and I must concur. So great work, Jane.
Hi, I'm Joe Beal, the founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing. I'm also the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which distills what I've learned from selling millions of books over the past 28 years.
I'm Ellie Blue, the vice president of Microcosm. We started this podcast to share what we've learned with newer publishers so you can learn from our mistakes. Or maybe you just want to learn about the publishing industry.
How would you introduce yourself?
Well, I've spent my whole career in publishing or the media in one way or another. And some people know me from my kind of first portion of my career at Writer's Digest, which was at a mid-sized publishing company. I actually did a lot of different things at that company, but I'm known for my Writer's Digest work. And since 2014, I've been a full-time freelancer. And so I specialize in the publishing industry and helping people understand something that can be very opaque, frustrating, elitist. There are so many adjectives I could use.
And so many of them unflattering, I'm hearing.
Yeah. I'm even though it's an industry I've obviously chosen to remain in, I do consider myself more of a critic, I suppose.
Great. I mean, we maybe can relate entirely too much.
We're ready to critique.
So we're going to handle a reader question. And it is, in fact, one of your readers. But it is also a question that has been posed to me. So, you know, Here we are, our worlds uniting. You know, when I actually did the release event for the People's Guide to Publishing book, one of the audience questions was, so, like, how do you make all the money from audiobooks? Because I'm told that's where you make all the money. And I kind of be like, well, that's not really accurate.
Yeah, you know, what are we missing here?
I mean, I did sell the audio rights to The People's Guide to Publishing, and it was read by a Shakespearean actor, but I think that puts me in like the lucky few, you know. Yeah. So can you sort of demystify this, like how, and I heard a great interview with you this week about Spotify and audiobooks. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. Great work. So like, can you like sort of unpack this picture for us?
I mean, I'll be totally upfront. It is something I continue to unpack and discover new things about. And in fact, I'm going to be speaking with an industry insider on the royalty side. Ooh. To try and figure out more of the mystery that is audiobook royalties for authors. I think the thing that confuses me about it, and I think that causes concern at this particular time, is that no one's quite sure what they're getting paid. And I'm not even sure the publishers themselves always know what they're getting paid. And obviously that's an issue if they don't know. But I think part of it ties into the digital aspect of audio. So like when it used to be physical CDs, I don't think there were a lot of mysteries with that, selling physical audio. But when you get into the digital markets, it's especially on the subscription models, which is how a lot of it works. There isn't really a list price you can go look at as you can with like a paper book. It depends on what the agreement is with that particular distributor or that particular retailer. And so you have a sales price or a retail price that is always in flux that may not, probably isn't known to the author. And then you have the retailer or the subscription model that it has its own calculation. And so it's this makes it obviously challenging to tell an author, okay, this is exactly what you're going to earn off this audiobook, because it's going to depend on the retailer. It's going to depend on who consumed it at what time. So, and then you add Spotify into this, which heightens anxiety because most people know Spotify as the company that pays pennies to musicians. So everyone's expecting, am I going to get pennies as well? from my digital audiobook. So that's the high level. I can certainly get more into the weeds. That said, I'm not yet concerned about the Spotify piece. Like, there are so many things we can talk about, and Spotify, I feel like, is like kind of the least of my worries as of today.
Yeah. And it seems like in a broader sense, like anybody competing with Audible is a good thing, especially yeah. somebody as big as Spotify, where like they actually could be a contender against the monopoly, you know, which is like yeah. what you want in any industry, you know?
Right, right. We needed, especially in the US market, which has been very, very dominated by Audible, we need another entrant to help loosen things up and get more competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the same time, I'm like thinking about like Netflix and streaming television and how that has completely depressed the rates that actors get right. paid yes. like across the industry. And it does seem like this becoming the norm is maybe a little concerning.
Right. I mean, this is already the norm though. You know, so right. it's like yeah.
fair enough.
The proponents of subscription models, especially on the audio side, ebook is a little different. But especially on the audiobook side, you'll find people making, I think, pretty reasonable arguments that the credit model that Audible is pushing in the US is not allowing for flourishing of the audiobook format, because people will only spend their credit on something that they feel is worthy, you know, a long book. And it tends to benefit bestsellers. It's no accident, at least in my mind, that when Spotify launched, it was around the time that Britney Spears' memoir launched. And what was the number one best-selling audiobook when Spotify launched? After, you know, yeah. I mean, when they proclaimed that as some kind of breakthrough, I was like, really?
You're like, oh, wow, you too? Yeah, that's I know. And it's like, I literally just got, by coincidence, I couldn't have scheduled this better, we got our royalty statements yesterday on audio. And it was like, you know, we have had it happen where the average paid per unit sold is less than a penny.
Yeah.
And, you know, in those cases, it's like the number, the units are, it's a very large number. It's sometimes mm-hmm. five figures, six figures. But then you're looking at it and you're like, oh, we made 0.56 pennies per unit. Right. And then but yesterday it was a bit better. One of them averaged at 6 cents a unit. One of them averaged at 52 cents a unit. One of them averaged at like 3.6 cents per unit. So, you know, and it's funny because whenever I talk to new publishers, their take on it is like, well, you know, I bet a lot of people don't read books, so I bet audio is the way to go. And then they're sinking a lot of money into this. And then they come back and they're like, hey, I sold like 12 audiobooks last month, but it cost me $3,600 in fees. What gives? Right. So like, what kind of advice would you give to a publisher in a position like that? Or, you know, maybe like pre-production costs.
Yeah, I think this is why synthetic voices are becoming a favored option among both self-published authors and smaller publishers. I'm also seeing like what I would consider like smaller player distributors who want to help publishers like Microcosm, perhaps. I'm thinking here of like Scribd. Well, it's now Everand, but they had, you know, they launched this audiobook program for independent publishers to try and get more books into audio because of these significant costs. Yeah. So that, I think what's frustrating for me, and maybe you can help enlighten me as to what's happening on the small publisher end, it's pretty obvious that the bigger publishers, I'm thinking, you know, of Penguin, Random House, Macmillan, that they're getting a pretty decent payout from their audiobooks that I would consider equivalent to like a sale, whatever we can call a sale, even in these subscription models like Scribd or Everand. But when it comes to the smaller publishers, you're getting a deal that's more about a pooling model where it's pennies from whatever subscription money they took in rather than a guaranteed payout. So is that what you're dealing with essentially?
In some cases, and honestly, so here's a hilarious tale for you. And this is real. So, you know, we have an agency, and we were selling those audio rights directly ourselves. And and usually the only money we would get from 95% of cases was the advance. Mm-hmm. And then we had recorded 2 audiobooks ourselves before we learned better. And we were like, okay, well, that's like, there's no point in doing that.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the infrastructure for the distribution end. And, right. Going to the major players, you make nothing. So our agency, they got us this like ironclad deal, high advance, 12 titles a year, first option, first right of refusal, meaning like that distributor can take the ones they want before anybody else can even look at them. Mm-hmm. But then the problem was that they had negotiated an advance so high that we were selling fewer and fewer audio titles because nobody could recoup at that level of advance.
Okay.
Yeah. On most books. So it's like we're right back to a book comes out and then often 2 to 5 years later the audiobook is coming out because like who knows why. We'll sign a contract in 2019 and the other party will sign it this year. Mm-hmm. As if 5 years had not passed, and that's right. So that's more what we're dealing with. And then honestly, it doesn't seem to compete with the print, but in most cases, we're just happy to get that like advance, and then give the author a nice check and then we're moving on.
Right. I mean, that's been my experience as an author where my publisher, a university press, got this advance and I haven't seen a penny beyond that advance, which doesn't, right. It doesn't bother me. That's what I expected. And then I see a lot of self-published authors who sell tons of eBooks, especially through Amazon, and they don't want to spend the money on the audiobook. And so they'll try and get like a Dreamscape or a Podium or, Blackstone, like one of these places to pay them the advance. And they're very happy with that because they have a very hard time, as I imagine you do, marketing audiobook formats, especially when it comes out years after the fact.
Yeah.
And that's the great part is like, we don't have to do anything, and since we are sort of like, we treat, we need a good metaphor for the way we regard Amazon. We tell the author to ignore them until their mom asks why their book is like sold for over cover price on there. And then
the wrong title or
some third party will come in and sell it to their mom and everybody's kind of okay. Better off than they would have been if we had, catered to Amazon. Mm-hmm. But because of that, like that inhibits our ability to sell audiobooks because just about any audio distributor other than Scribd, points for Scribd, is so reliant on piggybacking on that Amazon marketing because that's where they think it's going to sell. And they're very hesitant to launch their own platforms. And when they do, most of them fail. But yeah, Scribd came in and was fantastic. And, we probably sell as many books to them as we do to Blackstone, And I've never listened to one of the books they produced, but they will come in and they'll say like this book from 10 years ago, we want it. And we're like, great.
Awesome.
That's fascinating. They must have some interesting data they're looking at.
Yeah. So what would you recommend though for publishers trying to get into audio? Or authors,
Yeah. For publishers, I find it difficult to advise, but I would say looking at Scribd, Blackstone, Dreamscape, some of these partners, and doing what you can. Unless I do think synthetic voices offer some ability to bring the costs down to a point where maybe you'd want to figure it out on your own. I don't know that we're there quite yet, but definitely I've already seen self-published authors taking advantage of that and having some level of success, mostly in romance, where there's high demand. So for small publishers and authors, it's really the same path forward of looking for those distributors that are I would say they're looking to kind of gobble up everyone that looks like you, and grow that way. I just actually read a piece in Publishers Weekly specifically about Dreamscape, seeing the growth of their company coming from indie authors. And they had 40% growth last year, and they benefit from wide distribution. So they're not reliant on Amazon the way, say, like Podium Audio is. And they have a lot of library growth. So that's the other thing, I think, with libraries in the mix, when you're not exclusive to Amazon, that also makes the pie bigger for your income.
Right. Okay. Great. That's really, I mean, it's not the most uplifting message for publishers, but like, you know, like I'm glad that you're able to give people like honest, helpful advice, because I was always a little bit stuck in the like, well, I wouldn't pay too much attention to it was sort of my advice for people. You know, don't get too distracted. Like paper books is still kind of what people want.
I think it's so much, for me, genre or category driven. You know, for audiobooks, it's still very much like top categories are mystery, thriller, crime, science fiction, and fantasy. It's not that nonfiction doesn't do well in audio, it does, but it's kind of like a very particular type of nonfiction. So like when I think of Microcosm, I don't automatically think enormous audio opportunity. Yeah. So I could see why you might be just like, well, as people are interested, that's fine, but we're not going to create an audio division for this market.
No.
Well, thanks for shedding some light on how much there is yet to shed light on in this topic. I look forward to finding the results of your and others' intrepid reporting as you delve into this mystery like Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
I also have a lot of questions about the royalties piece, but this is one of four episodes that we're planning to record with you today. So anyone who's watching or listening, please stay tuned and keep coming back for more.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at Microcosm.
On Facebook at Microcosm Publishing.
On Instagram at Microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.